Welcome to the Portland Christian Center podcast. This week, Pastor Ray Noah continues our series, Making Life Work, with a special Father's Day message titled, How to Be a Fantastic Father. Now here's Pastor Ray.
You know, if you were to look up the word father in Webster's dictionary, you would find that it follows the word fatigued, and what follows fathers is fathead. I think that's a very unfortunate placement, isn't it? Fatigued and fathead. So all of you fatigued, fat-headed fathers like me, happy Father's Day. You know, fatherhood, you probably have noticed this, but fatherhood has really taken a beating in our culture in recent history, especially since the advent of television. I mean, TV is the worst violator of what I would call dumbing down dad. Worst violator of dumbing down dad. As fathers are increasingly portrayed as feckless fools, they're worthless and they're idiots, according to a lot of TV shows, right? And when you have enough of those TV shows that are presenting that picture of dads, that's what you get as a cultural understanding of what a father is. I mean, you watch, if you don't see this already, watch any television show that features a father who is in the home, if you can even find one at all, and see if I'm not right. And while we laugh at the expense of that hapless father, this stereotyping of fatherhood is satanic at its core. It might seem funny when you watch it on TV, but it is satanic at its core. I mean, just do the research. Type into your search bar, fatherlessness in America, and just read two or three of the articles that are linked right at the top of your page, and you will weep over the state of affairs in America as it relates to fatherlessness. Just do the research, and you'll find the diminished dad is killing our kids. The diminished dad is just killing our kids. And it's crushing our families. And as a result, it is destroying our nation. You know, we can go down to the state capitol on a week from Tuesday, and we can pray, and we can, this election cycle, we can do our best to get our guy or our gal into the White House and get the right kind of politicians in elected positions. And, you know, we can hope for a stronger military. We can hope for a better economy. We can hope for whatever. But until we fix the family, America is going down the drain. I mean, no society can stand without a strong family, without a strong home. And at the core of that is a strong father. And so I want to talk about that today. Now, I could go into all kinds of research, and a lot of it's very negative, but this is a happy day, right? Because it's Father's Day. So I want to focus on the positive, and what I want to do today is just to remind you, in the few minutes that we have together, I want to remind you that fatherhood is actually a great gift of God to families. You know, your experience maybe with your own father perhaps was negative, so maybe that experience notwithstanding, or the cultural view of fatherhood notwithstanding, truly fatherhood is a great gift of God to families, and I want to explore that with you today. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 7 says, it is a wonderful heritage to have an honest father. It's a wonderful heritage to have a dad of integrity. You know, what that's saying is that the integrity of the parents, especially the dad, extends blessing to the lives of the children. You find an honest dad, a dad of integrity, and the blessings will roll on and roll out and roll continually to the family for years and even generations to come. You know, my dad wasn't highly educated. He wasn't a super cool dude. In fact, he used to embarrass me, you know, by the way he dressed and what he did, and he was just a dork at times, right? And, you know, and now I realize that's just kind of the job description of dads, because I'm doing that to my kids as well. They always question, what are you wearing today, Dad? Oh, that doesn't work. That's so 80s or stuff like that, right? My dad wasn't a super cool guy. He wasn't all that successful as a bivocational church planting pastor by world standards, by church growth standards, but he was a man of integrity. He was an honest man, and I couldn't ask for a better inheritance. I called him this morning, and I said, Dad, he's 83 years old now, lives in an assisted living facility, and I said, Dad, thanks for being my dad. And he said, well, Pastor Noah, he always calls me Pastor Noah. Pastor Noah, thanks for being my son. I guess they kind of go together, right? But what an inheritance I have because he was a man of integrity. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 6 from the Living Bible says, an old man's grandchildren are his crowning glory. Yay for grandparenthood. Yeah, if I would have known it was so great, I would have got to it sooner. It's just amazing, even better than parenthood, I think. Now notice this, a child's glory is his father. Wow, a child's glory is his father. The word glory here is referring to a healthy kind of pride. I glory in something, a healthy kind of pride. A child will be proud of a father of integrity. Proverbs 14:26 says, reverence for God gives a man or a dad deep strength. Reverence for God gives a man deep strength. His children have a place of refuge and security. In God's economy, my kids reap the benefits of my character and my actions. If I have integrity, I don't have to be the hippest dad on the block. I don't have to be super successful in my career. I don't have to lead them for an inheritance, a boatload of money. The verse says that I will leave a far better inheritance for my kids by the legacy of a godly home that has provided for them a safe place that has produced relational and emotional and spiritual health and well-being. That's the best inheritance of all. All of those other things are fine, but that is the best inheritance of all. And the fruit of my integrity will be harvested in the pride that my daughters, Ashley and Danielle, take in me. Now, at the risk of sounding self-promoting, I want to share a note that Lynn and I received this week from one of our daughters, and this is what she wrote. She said, I started reading a really good book this week called Grit, The Power of Passion and Perseverance. I can't help but think about how each of you has a ton of grit and how proud I am of all that you're accomplishing in your respective areas. And those kinds of comments are pretty regular fare from both of our daughters. Not because of money or fame or power, but because we, Lynn and I, have deliberately chosen to revere God and to live out lives of integrity with his help as best we can. And that's where the pride of our daughters comes toward Linda and me, revering God and walking in integrity. Now, what's really fun for us to watch now is mom and dad to our kids is that heritage of reverence for God, that pattern of integrity of living and integrity of character getting transformed to our grandchildren, getting transferred to our grandchildren. It's getting passed on, and we get the joy of watching that happen. What we have lived and how we've taught our kids is now being inculcated, is being passed on to our grandsons. I don't know if I've ever told you about my grandson, Noah. But this little guy, 2.5 years old, going on 3 here, I guess, pretty soon, this little guy was born with energy just oozing out of every pore in his body. When he wakes up in the morning, he hits the ground running. He just tires his mom and dad out. And he goes until he just crashes at night, and even then, he doesn't want to crash. He hates sleeping. I'm kind of like that, too, because he thinks he's going to miss out on something. And so he does not want to go to bed. He does not want to sleep. And it is such a challenge for them that even now, at going on 3 years old, to get this guy to go to sleep. And so they've tried everything in the book, and so they started reading him a book, out of a book before he went to bed. And he has manipulated them into reading him 3 or 4 books before he goes to sleep. And then when he figured out he needed something else, he got them to start singing songs to him. And so they sing a song, and now it's several songs. Ashley called me this week, and she said, "Dad, it was so cute that after they had gone through all of their books and all of the songs, and it was time to go to bed, Noah said to his mommy, 'Mommy, I want to sing the church song.'" And I said, "Well, what's the church song?" And she said, "In the church that we go to," and Noah does not want to go into preschool. He wants to sit with his mom and dad in big kids' church, in big people's church, and he loves the music. And he wanted to sing the doxology. That's what they do at the end of their service. They sing the doxology, and he wanted to sing the church song. Oh, how fun that is for us to watch that. By the way, they don't sing the "Praise God from whom all blessings flow" version of the doxology. They sing the "May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you." But here's the kicker. They all stand and they have to turn and face each other and sing that doxology to one another. You think our meet and greet time is awkward? Huh? Yeah? So I'm going to have you do that at the end of the service today. You're going to have... No, I'm kidding. I wouldn't do that to you, I promise. I would do some things, but not that, right? "Mom, I want to sing the church song." Now listen, all of what I've just described in our family hasn't happened by virtue of me just being their dad. It's the result of intentionality with being the kind of father that honors God as best I can. I've been intentional about being the kind of father that through my words and through my thoughts and through my philosophy and through my actions that gives God honor by the way I live. So I want to show you several ways to get intentional about being a God-honoring dad this morning. Now, so that I don't limit this just to the biological dads that are in the room today, I want to broaden this to include everybody, to include all influencers, okay? There was a man in the second century by the name of Irenaeus. Irenaeus was the bishop of Lyon. He was one of the early church fathers in the second century. He was discipled by one of the most famous Christian martyrs, Polycarp. Polycarp was a great church father as well. He was discipled by the apostle John. So you have John discipling Polycarp, discipling Irenaeus. And so there's a real close connection, an apostolic succession that is happening there. And this was a great church father and a great thinker. And this is what Irenaeus wrote. He said, "When any person has been taught from the mouth of another, he is called the son of his instructor, and the instructor is called father." So guess what? By our influence, the influence that we have right now or the potential influence that we will have someday, everybody in this room is a father. In that sense, we're all spiritual fathers or can be spiritual fathers to somebody else. So again, turn to somebody and say, "I don't care who they are, male or female, happy Father's Day, Dad, because you are one. You're an influencer. You're an influencer. You are a father." And so I recognize today that sometimes when we have these special occasions, these special services, Mother's Day, Father's Day, that it can bring up a little bit of wounding in your own heart because of maybe you've lost a loved one, or maybe you had a bad experience, or maybe you didn't have that experience at all. You're not having that. So to all of our people that are here today without children, maybe not by your own choice perhaps, or maybe you're a single mom, this is for you as well, because God has called you at this point in your life to be an influence for somebody else. You are a father in that sense. And so I want to broaden this so that we're all included in the lessons that we're going to learn from this. Now, I want you to jump with me from the book of Proverbs to the New Testament, and I want you to go to the book of Ephesians. Turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. And probably the most well-known verse in the New Testament, if not the Bible, on fatherhood is found in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. Ephesians 6, 4. And this is what it says to fathers. "Fathers, don't exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord." I love the way the Message translations renders this. It says, "Dads or fathers, don't exasperate your kids by coming down hard on them. Take their hand and lead them in the way of the Master." I want you to focus on that last line. take them by the hand and lead them in the way of the master. The word exasperate meant to goad the kids into a perpetual state of resentment. Goading your children by your behavior, by your attitude, by your words, by your actions, into a perpetual state of resentment. You know any homes like that? You seen any kids like that that are just perpetually resentful toward their parents, toward their dad? I know of a friend of mine who just increasingly goaded his kids. He became mean-spirited, and the kids became resentful. Even as adults, they want nothing to do with their father. And what Paul is saying to us, if that is your style, dads, don't do that. If that's you, in the words of Linda Noah from last week's sermon, stop it. I adjure you, if that is your leadership style in the home, stop it. It's not a biblical model, not at all. Paul's command, by the way, to not do that introduced a whole new concept in his time, because in that world, a father's authority was absolute. It was actually a Roman family law called patria potestas. It meant the absolute authority, the absolute rule of the dad. A child's feelings, a child's mental state, or their self-esteem weren't taken into account. A dad could literally do what he wanted to with and to his kids. He could be mean to them, he could berate them, he could mistreat them, he could beat them. Listen, he could even, under Roman law, he could even kill his kids. And it was nobody else's business. Patria potestas in that culture. Now, what Paul is saying here then is a radical new concept. It's a radical new change. Patria potestas, absolute unquestioned authority, is not to be the way of the Christ-following father. Well, let me just kind of take a moment here to maybe challenge. I don't know if we have anyone in this church, but I know that Christian men exist like this. But there are some fathers who rule with an iron fist. They're the authority in their family, and they rule from a position of absolute authority over their children. There are some husbands that believe that that's God's call to men, that wives should submit to them, and they rule with absolute iron-fisted authority in the home. Now, let me just say this, if that's you, I hope it's not, but to those that are watching, maybe, you know, it's you up there, let me just say this to you. If you were taught that way, if you were under a pastor as wonderful as he might have been, that was false teaching, and you need to let it go. That is not the way of Christ. So I challenge you to let it go, to stop it. That is not the way that a Christ-following father or husband is to lead. So in this verse, Paul gives three principles that I think have wide application, but three fatherhood principles, if you will, that will revolutionize your life and your family as a father or as an influencer, principles that will transform our homes if we follow them. So let me give you three of these. One, a God-honoring father ensures togetherness. He prioritizes. He ensures family togetherness. He isn't to lead by absolute authority, nor is he to lead in absentia, loading his wife, the mother, with all of the parenting duties, or kind of like giving her the assignment, almost like an executive assistant to carry out for him while he does his own thing. That's not to be the case in a Christ-honoring home. But he is to, as the verse says, to take the kids by the hand and lead them. It's to be hands-on. Leadership by involvement, influence, and influencing type of fatherhood, which means he has to be there. And when he's there, he needs to be all there with his kids. Now, this can happen in a variety of ways, in a number of ways. But the primary way this happens is by making time spent with the children his priority. You know, to a child, a parent's love, especially a dad's love, is spelled T-I-M-E. That's what a kid gets. That's the currency that a childhood receives, how they receive love. Time. T-I-M-E. You know, Christianity Today, one of the premier Christian magazines in our nation over the last 50 years or so, published a survey just a while ago where parents rated their inability to spend quality time, enough time with their children as the greatest threat to their families. The inability to spend enough time, the greatest single threat to the families. And 35%, over a third of those, said that the time constraints was the biggest factor in the decline of family values. Now, what was interesting is that in those same parents that were surveyed, more than 67% of them said that they would likely accept a job, despite the warnings, they would likely accept a job requiring more time away if it offered a higher income or greater prestige. There's an incongruent value there, isn't it? They understood this is killing our families, and yet they were lured into that same pattern that many in our culture have been lured into. Your child needs a parent, especially a dad, who will put relationships before results. Relationship before results. In the 18-plus years that you have a child in your home, you can raise a healthy kid by making family togetherness a high, high, high priority. Malachi chapter 4, verse 6 speaks of a day when God will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. Now, I don't know if we are in that day eschatologically or not. Maybe that's a prophetic future that hasn't come yet. I know there's some different prophetic applications. So I don't know about the timeline, the prophetic timeline of God for the fulfillment of this prophecy. But here's what I do know. As an individual dad, as an individual parent, you can appropriate for your home that day right now. You don't have to wait to the end. You can appropriate that day when God turns the father to the children and the children to the father right now. God will hear you if you ask that. So here's what I'm going to challenge you to do with this at this point. Here's the challenge that I have for you. I'm going to challenge you, especially dads, that you would elevate togetherness as a core value in your home. Elevate it. I don't know where it is on the list of priorities, but elevate togetherness as a core value, a high priority in your home. And here's the second part to that. Here's the kicker. Then rearrange your priorities around that value. If you say that's a high value, then your calendar ought to show it's a high priority. So what do you need to do? How do you need to rearrange your life to make togetherness a core value? That's a challenge. I understand that, because you've got responsibilities. You've got things that you're being called to do. You're going to need the Holy Spirit's help. You're going to need to make some tough decisions. God is calling us as parents and influencers to elevate togetherness as a chief priority in our homes. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7 says, when you're at home or out for a walk at bedtime, the first thing in the morning, lead your children in God's way. That's God's call upon our lives. We are to value. We are to elevate togetherness in our home. Two, a God-honoring father expresses tenderness. Paul says that godly fathers are to take them by the hands and to lead them. You know, in Paul's day, men tended to be very heavy-handed with their family. They ruled with an iron fist. They ruled by intimidation, the threat of physical punishment, verbal bullying. Paul says it's to be different than that. And then he gives them an example. He gives them his own example of what fatherhood ought to look like. Over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, Paul shows a better parenting model, a better kind of parenting in his role as the spiritual father to these Thessalonian believers. Notice what he says. He says, with each of you, we were like a father with his child, holding your hand, whispering encouragement, showing you step by step how to live. He's affectionate. And yet he's training them for godliness. But he's doing it with tenderness and compassion and affection. It's a mixture. Paul was a perfect mixture of velvet and steel. I mean, he had it both going on, and that's what a godly father will do. He's showing that effective fathering gently conforms the child, just as Psalm 103 shows that God, as a father, has tender compassion upon his children who are prone to be wayward in their walk with him. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on us. That is the example of that God has set for us of what fatherhood ought to be. So, I want to give you another assignment. Are you ready for it? Say yes. Yes. Thank you. Here's the assignment. This week, consciously choose tender, encouraging words with your children at a ratio of 10 to 1. That's going to be hard for some of you. You know, that's going to require some accountability, some help. Definitely the Lord's help. Maybe accountability of your spouse. Maybe people that are watching your life. Maybe you can say, hey, would you help me with this? Kind of watch what I'm doing so that I just subconsciously don't spew out angry or intimidating or negative comments to my kids. If you dare, allow your kids to point it out to you if you're being negative. Now, you know, they might go overboard with that. You know, my kids say, why are you yelling at me when I'm not yelling at them? And I just say something they don't like. But if you dare, allow your kids to hold you accountable. But find some help, because this is the one where we just subconsciously do things that are damaging to our families. A ratio of 10 to 1, encouraging, positive, upbuilding, edifying comments to the ones when you do need to be a little bit negative and directional to the kids. Teach them with tenderness, uplifting affirmations, and gentle touches. That's another way to affirm. That's another way to be tender, is through the gentle touches that we give our children. You do that. Do that. Just do that this week. Just try that this week. I'm not gonna commit you to it for a lifetime, although I think that's a pretty good idea. I think after you see the results, you'll want to, but just try that for a week in your home with your kids or your grandkids or in your classroom and watch the transformation. It'll work. God guarantees it. It'll work. So, you value togetherness. You exhibit tenderness. You express tenderness. And then, number three, a God-honoring father exhibits a testimony. Exhibits a testimony. Ensure togetherness, express tenderness, and exhibit, live out a personal testimony before your family. Notice what Paul says, take them by the hand and lead them into a relationship with God. Lead them in the way of the Master. Now listen, you cannot lead someone to where you are not going. It's a big mistake that a lot of parents make. You can't lead your child somewhere where you yourself are not going. Don't lecture them about God. Lead them to God. Take them by the hand and show them, lead them, show them the way of the Master. Live a testimony. Lead by example. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, Paul says, follow my example as I follow Christ's example. Follow me as I follow Christ. Now, would you be comfortable saying that in all honesty to your children right now? Could you say that to them? If you said that to your children, would they get it, or would they go, you are the biggest fake on the planet? Follow my example as I follow Christ's example. There's some research in Discipleship Journal some years ago that this is so powerful, that demonstrated that if a dad is an active believer, listen to this, if a father is an active believer, there's a 75% likelihood the children as adults will be active believers. If both mom and dad are active believers, the number goes up to 85%. But 75% of the children will follow Christ, will be active in church, will be an active worshiper if the dad is an active worshiper. But if it's only the mom who's the active worshiper, that number drops to only 30%. Wow, it's powerful. Now listen, ladies, I know you're feeling bad. You're going, pfft. This is not a put down on motherhood. It is a put out, fathers. It's a, come on, Dad, get your head in the game. Because God has designed it that a child needs a dad who will model integrity and consistency. Integrity and consistency. Now, if you're a single mom here, or maybe you're a grandparent that's been recruited into raising your kids' children, this is the same for you. You've got to model as best you can. You got to model godliness to them and give them the best shot through your winsome life of wanting what you have. But it's harder. It is. You know, it's a tougher challenge. But dads, the power that you have of being an authentic Christ follower, a worshiper who demonstrates your life, your testimony before the Lord, is the most powerful ingredient in your child becoming an adult who loves and who follows Christ. Josh Billings said, to train up a child in the way that he should go, travel that way yourself once in a while. It's the power of example. Live out integrity, and you will pass on a spirituality to your kids that money and materialism cannot buy. It's that powerful. You know, I see, as a pastor, I'm privileged to see great examples here at PCC every week. I could go on and on and on of examples that I see of dads who get it, God-honoring dads, spiritually consistent dads who take their kids by the hands and they lead them in the way of the master. Now, I saw him this morning, so I know he's not here and I know he's not expecting this, but I want to give a shout out to Jason Mitchell. Jason is one of our deacons. He's a dad. And as a deacon, he leads a prayer team. The deacons have, as I've mentioned a few times, the deacons lead a prayer team every Sunday morning before we come in here and worship. They're praying for us. And so Jason leads one of those prayer teams, and on his rotation, on his turn, Jason brings his two boys, little guys, to the prayer meeting. It's so cute, these little guys sitting around the conference table with all us old duffers. These little guys sitting at the... And he doesn't just bring them and leave them and let them observe. Jason actually has his boys lead off in prayer. He doesn't wait for us to pray and then let them... He says, would you lead in prayer? I'll never forget the first time that... I think it was Isaac you brought. And Isaac folded his little hands and he said, in that little voice, he said, dear God, help me not to be mean to my Sunday school teacher today. Amen. And God heard that, and his teacher was appreciative of that. But he is modeling for his kids. He's exhibiting a testimony for his boys. That's how to be a fantastic father. And so here's one final challenge that I want to give you. This is an easy one. This is a simple one. Men and mothers too, grandparents, doesn't matter, teachers, influencers, let your kids see you pray. Do they ever watch you pray? Jason, thank you for modeling for your boys what prayer is. Let your children see you connecting with God. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12 says, set an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. I was thinking about this morning and thinking about Jason. I thought of my own dad when I was growing up. All the way through when I was a little kid in the elementary school. You know, my dad, I mentioned, was a bivocational pastor. A part of my growing up years, he was not only pastoring a church, but he was working in a plywood mill in Southern Oregon. And he worked the graveyard shift. But he was up every morning. When he got home, before he went to bed and before we went off to school, he would gather me and my two brothers. And we would kneel together every single school day. We would kneel together at the family altar. You know what the family altar was? It was our couch. If you were to walk into our home and look at it, all you would see would be our backsides kneeling over the couch. And he would be praying for us. I don't know what he prayed. I don't remember what he prayed. But I remember he prayed. What an inheritance. What an inheritance I have. Choose togetherness, guys. Practice tenderness. Live a testimony. And you will be a dad who is his or his child's glory, his son or his daughter's glory. Choose to be a dad like that, and you will be a glory for your children.
Thanks again for listening to this week's edition of the Portland Christian Center podcast. If you want more information about the ministries of Portland Christian Center or have a prayer need, please visit us online at pcctoday.com. Thanks for listening.